From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the night, welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever double collared, wearing cape guy this time, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count Panic.
Oh, hey there, Bob.
Difficulty, Count Panic.
I turned down my own mic instead. Oh, hey there, Bob. How's it going?
Hey, I'm doing good, Count. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. You know, you mentioned the double collar, and you know, it is the fall season officially, and that's when we transitioned our flannel or hoodies. So you really can't do anything unless the flannel overlaps with the cape. The cape overlaps with the flannel. It gets a little confusing sometimes. It gets a little messy. It's unfashionable, but hey, who the heck cares? Although, if they made capes made with flannel material, that would be ideal. But we are not living in that world just yet. So here we are trying to make do with what we got. And so what? Double collar? It's a Polish vampire thing. How could I? You know, it's one of those things that you gotta let me slide on it, Bob. You gotta let me slide.
Absolutely. Let's hear your weekend update, Count Panic.
The weekend update. The weekend was pretty good. A pretty low key weekend. Of course, yesterday I had some fun with you, Bob. Doing a little crossover episode with you yesterday, and that's gonna come out Saturday. Panic in the Region, new episode. We went looking for Sasquatch here in the region, and I'm not gonna say if we found anything. I'm not gonna give the secret away just yet, but I want to thank you for coming out and helping with that crossover episode, and hopefully people enjoy it. So look forward to that this Saturday. But other than that, before that, the weekend was pretty low-key.
Absolutely.
But I do have one thing to promote here before we move any further,
sure,
Bob. Because
Count. I'm going to let you promote because the janitorish just showed up to the studio, and I left the studio door open. So
oh, okay.
Keep talking just for 3 seconds.
Go for it, Bob, as Bob shuts the studio door. He's a host. He's multi-talented. He does many things around here. But I want to make sure I promote this as well because, you know, in the fall, well, this whole year, basically, this past summer, no events happening whatsoever. People were just kind of stuck inside their houses due to the pandemic. And it's going to be like that in the fall as well. Not too much happening event-wise. But there is one event happening here in the Northwest Indiana, Chicagoland area, if you wish to attend it. A Halloween Spooktacular. This is going to take place at the Crown Point, the Crown Antique Mall in Crown Point, Indiana, 554 East 110th Avenue. In Crown Point, Saturday, October 10th from 10 to 3. There's going to be candy, food, costume contest, live music, outside vendors for those that feel safer outside. Outside vendors will be out there in full force. Two buildings, hundreds of inside vendors as well. So,
and Count Panic, you're going to be there.
I'll be there, Bob.
Bob After Dark.
I'll be promoting here from Bob After Dark. So if you wish to come by and say hi to me and support this great event, again, this is the Halloween Spooktacular Crown Antique Mall in Crown Point, Indiana, Saturday, October 10th from 10 to 3. So, like I said, not much going on this year, so it might be nice to see some people finally.
Absolutely. All right, Count, but before we continue, we have two wonderful guests this week.
We do.
Joining Bob After Dark for their first time in a long-anticipated crossover event, a collaboration typhoon of excellence. I just made that up,
by the way.
That was
pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. We have Craig and Abby from the Yes Have Some podcast, my absolute favorite non-paranormal show, joining us this week on Bob After Dark.
Hello.
What's up, y'all?
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Thanks, Bob.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming, guys. So who are you? What do you guys do? And what's going on?
As you so politely introduced us, this I don't think I could do better than you just did, but I'll try. I am Craig Goldberg, and this is Abigail.
Hello.
Gardner, and we are two of the three hosts of Yes Have Some podcast. It's a weekly show that we do. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify. We also have a YouTube account where we do a lot of video content. We really have a focus on toy collecting, and franchises that we love as far as like fan favorite nostalgia franchises. So things like Ghostbusters being our number one.
Mm-hmm.
Jurassic Park,
Star Wars, horror, a little bit of everything. And really it was kind of born out of the three of us just being great friends and, you know,
having long-winded conversations on the phone that we felt we should share with other people.
Yes, yes. Long-winded conversations and having that ego that says, well, other people probably want to hear this. So we've been doing it for about 5 years, going strong, and it's a ton of fun. It's an absolute blast.
Well, congratulations on your early 5 years, guys. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's coming up.
You guys have to know, outside in the world of podcasting, anything that lasts over a year is actually a really big success, because people get bored or people get tired or people just don't have it in them to continue. So anytime a show lasts more than, you know, 10 episodes or a year, it's actually a big celebration. And Craig and Abby's case, they've taken their show and franchised it out, and they're doing everything in the world that they could possibly do to make their show great. So for lasting 5 years, that's an incredible feat, guys, and I applaud you.
Wow, thank you.
Thanks, Bob.
That's very nice.
I'm glad we came on the show now.
Yeah, now I'm
your
now
checks
I'm
are in the mail.
And also we do get into explicit language on our show. We're going to stay clean tonight.
Yes, that super wonderful clean FCC regulations we have on the show,
because
we're
in the radio. So pure.
It's actually giving me so much anxiety that I'm going to stumble through every word. No, I'm just kidding. The show was really born in early 2016, before the new Ghostbusters movie came out that we all remember, the Answer the Call movie, where there was so much hoopla and so much negativity and so much kind of chaos surrounding that movie that we felt like we had a voice and we wanted to lend it to the conversation. And then once the movie was out, it was kind of like, well, we still want to keep talking. So then it kind of started branching off into a more general.
And at that point, people were listening, so we kept talking.
Right, exactly. We didn't just want to cut it. Right.
Yeah.
Cut it off. So, but Bob, I want to give Bob's great. You know, we met Bob for the first time. Everybody listen. People listening to this show know Bob's great, but we met Bob for the first time at the premiere of that movie, and it had a great time, and we've been able to cross paths a couple times since.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. If this is your first time, if you're a yes, what do you guys name your fan base?
Not to their faces. We've tried to come up with, like, what is Mariah Carey? The lambs?
Her lambs?
Yeah.
We don't do that.
We have the children of the night here at Bob After Dark.
Right. That's good.
Well, this will be a cheap plug, but we do have a Facebook group where all of our listeners kind of congregate. It's called Yes Have Some Group Therapy. So we will call them our clients.
There you go. Okay, so that works. So yes. Maybe if this is your first time ever listening to Bob After Dark, maybe you're a client of Craig, Abby, and you guys, your other co-host is Jacob. Yeah. If you guys are a client of Yes Have Some, and this is the first time you're ever listening to Bob After Dark, or if this is your first time ever stumbling into a Bob After Dark show, welcome. This is the show where we talk about legends, lore, and supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, and Count Panic himself over there.
That's me, yeah. With flannel and the cape combo.
We share spooky, weird news stories of the week that you, the fans, send into us, where we get our first reactions. Count Panic goes completely in blind, where we're able to kind of get his raw opinion on the things we talk about. And then we
have no clue what's going on.
Except the old cat.
Yes, the old cat.
Okay.
Yes.
And then we do cover the lore of the week. That's where we dive into the bread and butter of the show. That's where we dive into the big topic. And because this is Craig and Abby's first time on the show, I have to ask you guys. Believers or skeptics, or maybe in the middle?
I'm pretty skeptical. I got to be totally
honest.
I have to say it. I'm kind of on the line. I enjoy the supernatural. Obviously, I'm a Ghostbusters fan. I like ghosts. But I don't 100% believe everything.
Oh, that's fine.
But
skeptics,
I like to
welcome.
Read about it.
Oh, absolutely. And skeptics are welcome on Bob After Dark. It's
cool.
It's important to have a skepticism, because it keeps my job going, where I'm able to try to bring you evidence. And I thoroughly enjoy a skeptical view on things. And where about you, Craig?
I would say I would not call myself a skeptic. I don't put a lot of thought into researching whether or not these instances of like paranormal activity and things are like that are founded or not. I think when it comes to The paranormal, like things like ghosts, you know, they say that energy can't be killed. And I do believe in the survival of our energy and whether or not that has any, you know, the thing that's always interested me is they say, and I don't know if this is true, I'm just going to state facts I read on the internet. Mm-hmm. They say you only use 10% of your brain, right? I feel like there's a lot of things that are unanswerable that we're never going to actually have answers for. And that's kind of, but that's what I like about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because I like the theorizing and the what ifs. And when it comes to, I don't know if you guys dig into like alien stuff at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I definitely believe that there is life outside of our small space in the universe. So whether or not they've visited, I don't know, but there has to be. It just logically, there has got to be something.
Fair enough. I appreciate both your answers. At least there, we know what we're going into.
Yes.
If this is your first time or listening to Bob After Dark again and you're on the Apple Podcast side of things, make sure you leave a nice 5-star review and give something Count Panic and Cheers water to. Count,
like
you don't
that.
Count, there's no 5-star reviews.
No five.
There's no new 5-star reviews.
I'm putting my cup down then. Nobody
no,
gets a
so if
this
you guys
week.
Are listening on the Apple Podcast, make sure you guys are leaving those 5-star reviews. Also, before we move on to the show, I would like to make an announcement, Count.
Uh-oh.
So Bob After Dark is teaming up with Ghostly Podcast, and we are hosting the first ever Halloween contest.
Really?
Yes.
What does this entail?
On the Bob After Dark fan page, which is the Children of the Night, I'll link it up, show notes and stuff, Count. Make sure you get that up there.
Sure.
We are hosting a Halloween decoration contest. So I want to see the most creative Halloween decorations and displays you guys could put up as fans. 2020 has been rough, and I know a lot of people are canceling the official kind of Halloween celebrations, but that doesn't mean you need to stop decorating. That doesn't mean you need to stop celebrating my favorite season of the year, and I'm sure a lot of yours. So we want you guys to get up, get yourselves decorated. I don't care if you live in an apartment, a shed, a house, whatever. Everybody's entries are going to be considered. You can enter right on the Bob After Dark fan page at the Children of the Night. Our friends Pat and Rebecca from Ghostly Podcast are going to be our celebrity judges for that contest. They're going to be the ones to pick the winner, not me. So if you win, you are going to get a Bob After Dark care package. This is going to be several bits of Bob After Dark merch thrown in there, and Ghostly Podcast also said they're going to throw in some swag as well.
Wow.
So the winner of the best decorated house, I don't know what we're calling it yet, the contest, but it's going to be running from October 1st through October 15th. So you get your pictures up, your videos up, and I'll have a thread up in the Bob After Dark fan page for you guys to enter and win yourself that wonderful contest.
I may have to enter myself, Bob.
Craig and Abby, do you guys decorate for Halloween?
Yeah, I did about 2 weeks ago. I was about to say I want to enter because I have a front porch that I have done up with lights. There's also a possum that lives there and three raccoons.
Oh, so
like real possums and raccoons?
Yes, very real.
Are they dressed up?
Not yet.
Okay.
But they will be if I have anything to do with it. So I think, I think I could qualify for this contest.
Absolutely.
Sounds very exciting.
So get on over there. We're going to be announcing that 100%. It'll be starting October 1st. Abby's already beating you guys.
There you go.
She's already winning, so you guys need to beat Abby and Craig here. All right, so let's dive right into the spooky news of the week. Our first story comes to us from Huntsville, Alabama, and this story is submitted to us from fan Whitney Roden. What I'm going to be doing is we usually get the hashtag panics take, but I want all of your guys' take on the story here, so we'll do a roundtable on this. The first story, again, comes from Huntsville, Alabama, and there is a new drug out on the world called the zombie drug. North Alabama Drug Task Force in Huntsville seized over 9 pounds of a dangerous substance known as the zombie drug. The substance, also known as the Flocka, is a synthetic drug known for causing paranoia and hallucinations, which can lead to violent aggression, self-injury, and death. The drug can also produce a catatonic or zombie-like state in users, hence its name. Agents also said they seized over 2 pounds of ecstasy, 30 grams of meth, and $5,550 in drug proceeds. The overall street value of the seizured amount is an estimated $290,000. Now, we don't normally talk about the drug dealing on the show, but the fact that they're dealing out what is practically a drug that can change people into a zombie is awfully frightening to me. Hashtag everybody else's take but mine.
Well, didn't we have this a few years back? Bath salts, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was like a zombie-like appearance. They were like, you know, people were like eating people, right? They were attacking people on the streets.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is the stuff. I mean, we complain about, you know, marijuana laws, but we should. This is the stuff we should be focusing on: the zombie drugs.
Craig and Abby, your guys' take.
Well, I'm not surprised that bath salts were rebooted.
Yeah,
everything gets a remake at some point. I don't know. I mean, that sounds scary. I don't think anytime you got something that's like of questionable origin, and it's like, well, what does it do to you? And they start listing off like 20 to 25 different things. I think it's bad news.
Yeah, all the side effects sound terrible. I'm not surprised that they found a large amount of it because I don't know who would want to purchase that.
Yeah.
It sounds terrible. But yeah, that's very, very spooky to think that something that you take could cause those kind of symptoms.
Just like
that's,
a catatonic state, like yeah. Zombie wandering around town. Yeah, I don't.
That's not just like a nice chill. That sounds like terrible and terrifying.
Awful.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Yeah, mm-mm. I downvote that.
Not a
I feel
fan.
Like we're on The Voice.
Right.
Yeah,
hashtag don't do
welcome
drugs.
To the spooky voice.
Yes. I want to turn around my chair and say I will not.
No.
I do not support this.
Not getting
no, it's
vote.
Bad news bears, folks. Don't be doing drugs that put you in a zombie-like state. Mm-hmm. I do not approve. All right, moving on to our next story, which was actually submitted to us by Pat from Ghostly and various other sources. It is Mathematics Reveal that time travel is logically possible, but they don't know how to do it. A couple of years ago, back when Bob After Dark was still just a normal radio show before we had the podcast and the big hoopla and the beautiful guests, Craig and Abby, we did a time travel episode, and we talked about the logistics behind it and what really is time travel. And back then, we basically put a question mark at the end of it. Is time travel possible? Theoretically, I guess, is possible, but it's not something we could do. But apparently this new study out is saying that it's 100%. And this comes to us from iflscience.com. I won't actually say what that means. I'm sure you guys could put in the two senses there. Mm-hmm. Two mathematicians claim that the logical inconsistency thought to lie at the time's heart travel's heart doesn't exist. And therefore, it's theoretically possible one might be able to travel back in time and change reality. Unfortunately, time travels might find the results frustrating. Mm-hmm. If time is simply the fourth dimension, then it's natural to wonder why we can't move through it. Einstein's theory of general relativity predicts the existence of time loops or time travel where an event can both happen in the future at the same time. Theoretically, turning the study of dynamics on its head, and this is all done by a group of German students, and they're basically going out and saying that the grandfather paradox, it can't occur, and time travel can't prevent their grandparents from meeting. They can prevent their grandparents from meeting. They will never exist, and therefore will never actually be able to prevent the encounter. The article goes on, lots of science talk, but they're basically saying right now that the idea is that you can go back, interact with past, and it would completely mess up the future. Now, if I had my Doc Brown chalkboard behind me, I'd be drawing lines that go underneath it. But they're saying that if you traveled back in time, once it's invented, then it actually would cease to happen anyway if you were to mess up the timeline. There's no alternate timeline where one exists. This new study is saying that it's all one linear idea. Hashtag everybody else's take but mine.
Well, you know, Bob, I mean, I'm living proof that time travel actually exists.
You're living proof, you
I'm
say.
I'm from the old century, and here I am producing your show. So a lot's going to happen to you in the future. I can also see the future. I'm also psychic as well. I'm multi-talented, Bob. But I see some good things for you. But yeah, I mean, they think it's real, but they don't know how to prove it. I mean, does that mean it's really real or not? I don't know, but where would you go, though? That's the age-old question. You probably guys have an answer for this as well. If time travel was a thing, people like to ask, where would you travel to, Bob?
I'm just some guy. Let the guests talk.
You know what?
I got one.
I want to hear where they want to go. You don't want to hear where I want to go.
I want to hear.
We were talking about this recently. I would go to opening day at Universal Studios, Florida, to be able to. I never went when I was young, so I didn't get to go to the Ghostbusters experience or ride King Kong or any of that. So I am going as a theme park fan to Universal Studios opening day and riding everything and doing
just
all the things I wanted to do as a kid.
The Jaws ride did not work for like 8 months. So you're going to be really disappointed when you get there. You told me you wanted to go to Woodstock 99.
Oh, that was just a joke. Nobody wants to go back to Woodstock 99.
That's the best good is that. Come on.
I mean, you got some good music, but you don't want to be in the crowd.
You don't want to be there. Yes. Or maybe you could go back and like warn
everyone. Stop Limp Bizkit. I'm changing my answer. That's what I'm doing.
You just go back in time. Limp Bizkit. Stop it. I don't know where I would go. I love that. I've always had a fascination with time travel. I did a report on it in like 11th grade, and I think my teacher just didn't understand it and gave me a good grade. He was like, it looks good to me. None of it made any sense. I definitely think it's possible, and that I think it's so possible that like in a couple hundred years, they'll look back on us and be like, I can't believe they weren't time traveling. What a primitive society. If I could go anywhere, I don't know. I don't think I want to go to the future because I'm so scared of what that would be. Like, I'm just like, you know, the thing where you get there and there's just nothing. You're like, oh, look, everything's gone. I'd probably go to the past. I'd probably want to see not too far because I need my amenities. So maybe like, you know, 2011 or something. I don't know.
Mall of America.
Mall of America.
Shopping. Yeah, I'd go to the Mall of America.
Okay.
For the first episode of WCW Monday Night Raw.
That's a good answer. That popped me in panic.
We're going to do a wrestling podcast now, I guess.
Let's do it.
That's the next job.
Okay. Hard pivot.
Count, where are you going?
Well, you know what? Most people would say...
Or when are you going?
Most people would say to save Lincoln, but also to stop Limp Bizkit is a good one, too. Either one is pretty good. A toss-up there. Maybe I would go, I don't know, the 1980s, maybe, just to experiment the 80s. It seems like a cool time. Like was mentioned here, I want to have the air conditioning, the heat, the TV, and everything. Right. So I don't want to go too far back. So the 80s seem like a good time period.
You know, that's fully me. When I go outside, if it's like hotter than 75 degrees, yeah. I immediately become grateful for what we have now. And I think about my ancestors and I pity them.
Yeah, it's tough. You don't want to go too far back.
No.
You know, my answer is very simple. I think I'd go back to the year 1975 because then that gives me a little bit of time to prep for the 80s, stockpile some money away, and then when all the cool toys come out in the 80s, then I have all the money to buy all the cool toys, and then I can experience Lost Boys in theaters and Ghostbusters in theaters. That would be my thing. I would just probably live at a movie theater.
All right.
I love that. I like that. And then you get the toys as an investment.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be one of those people where they were like, how did they know these were going to be worth money? And it's like, well, it's because you time traveled and you had the information.
Absolutely. Folks, just remember in the news article, it says that the grandfather paradox is completely possible. So when you're traveling back in time, make sure not to meet your parents, have your mother fall in love with you, because that would actually ruin the space-time continuum as we know it. Not Back to the Future rules. This is like legitimate new theory stuff.
It is interesting that Back to the Future deals with some of that stuff. And like the scene you mentioned earlier with the Doc's chalkboard where he's explaining the alternate timeline. That's kind of genius because that's a pop culture thing that everybody can relate to now. Like, I feel like before that, if you were talking about an alternate timeline, you'd be like, most people are like, what are you talking about? But you go, you know, Back to the Future 2 where Hill Valley's awful.
Yeah.
People are like, oh, okay, I know that.
Yeah, there you go. That's the staple of time travel explanation. Just go watch Back to the Future 2. It explains everything.
Right.
All right, that news story, like I said, came from Pat. This last news story comes to us from listener James Norman, and this is about a story that's almost ripped right from a classic horror film. This one actually works out for both of you guys that you're here. So a defecting Russian scientist has surfaced with a mind-blowing account of what really occurred when he and his colleagues went missing for 5 days in a mysterious lake 2,366 feet beneath the Antarctic ice. Dr. Anton Badakala told authorities in Switzerland that researchers discovered a bizarre and deadly life form dubbed Organism 46-B, a highly intelligent octopus-like creature that claimed the lives of three of its team members. And pretty much the story stops there, but it sounds like something straight from The Thing, and it sounds like somebody discovered a brand new cryptid on the planet that is absolutely horrifying.
Describe this cryptid once again, Bob.
It's a weird octopus type creature that's hyper intelligent.
Really?
Yes.
That sounds terrifying.
Like that. Sounds like some Dune stuff right there.
Yeah, that sounds sounds like he maybe was on that zombie drug from earlier that below decision. The. I like that it's an. I think because Antarctica, it's Antarctica, right? Is that what you said?
Yes.
I think that's it's so uncharted and unknown, and like you can't really relate to it.
That there could be a giant sentient octopus.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, like I support. I hope it's real. It does make you wonder, like, why would somebody make something up like that? Because it's not like it's making worldwide news. It's kind of a, I don't know. This is the first I've heard of it. So I don't know. Is there other things like that that have happened? Like, is that line up with other experiences, or is this like a new thing?
In the Arctic, absolutely. I have heard stories of, well, you got a lot of stories about cryptids that, you know, and when I use the term cryptid, it's the cryptozoology, it's the monsters in reality type stories. A lot of those relate to really hyper intelligent animal like things that attack people or something very similar. James Bria's in the chat, and I actually got to interview him about an experience he heard from his father about him being attacked by a dog man once upon a time ago. But I actually talked to somebody really recently that shared an encounter about a bear, and this bear was a very seemingly normal bear, but when it went to attack the hunting party, this bear knew the caliber of weapon that every person had and attacked the highest caliber weapon person and went down the line, and this thing was eating like bullets, shots, stuff like that. And that's the part that horrifies me about cryptozoology, and why I always warn people when they go out and they want to go hunt these things down, that what they're dealing with is a physical concrete entity. You know, when you go ghost hunting, it's fun, and trust me, that's dangerous by itself. But when you get to cryptids, it's something sinister. It's something dangerous. Like, legitimately, this thing's going to take a punch at you. So it doesn't surprise me that they found something. And as Craig said just a little bit ago, that's so uncharted, especially underneath all of that. And they were 12,000 feet under the frozen ice. You have no idea what's going on down there. So this is one of those stories where you're looking at it and it's like, absolutely, this makes sense. I believe this guy 100%. And it's actually very terrifying to think about.
Yeah, to think about like something that's trained almost like an assassin to know how to take you out and more intelligent than human life. That's terrifying to me.
Well, that's not that hard. More intelligent than human life. That, right, like right, we think like we're like, oh, they're so much smarter than us. It's like,
I mean, but if have you've got been weapons out there? And you're out there, like that's
no,
that's
I like it. I,
formidable.
I
scary.
This is my favorite story so far. I think that's really. I want to do more research on this one. I like this one.
Craig, I'll send you over the link, and of course, where you guys can find all these links, it'll be shared on the Bob at the new. Home for the articles is going to be on the Bob After Dark fan page, which is Children of the Night, because then I have other moderators that run that page that'll make sure I post those articles or they'll fight me. You guys ever get that as content creators? You're like, oh, we're going to do this. And then,
yeah, it's like every day. Yeah. Here comes another cheap plug. It's a content creator. I had the benefit of interviewing Ernie Hudson this week on our podcast.
Oh, that's wonderful.
We had Ernie Hudson on. And long story short, it got picked. A couple of his quotes about the new Ghostbusters movie got picked up by a couple other news outlets. And as news outlets do, they all copy each other. So it started getting picked up. So as a Ghostbusters fan, from time to time or every day of my life, people will send me articles. And as a content creator, it was funny because they were all sending me links back to my own interview, proving that they didn't actually read the article or watch the interview, because they're like, hey, did you see what Ernie Hudson said? I was like, not only did I see it, I recorded it and I said it. And I, that was a cheap plug. I'm sorry. But to get back to your
it's okay.
question, yes, a lot. Because when you're in the flow of conversation, you say something, oh, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then sometimes you don't.
Life happens. And then they hold you accountable.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
And no, but it's great. I think, and Bob, I know you got a dedicated audience. I think that's what's cool about the kind of stuff we do is all of your people out there kind of reminding you to stay on top of your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, this last story actually comes to me from an anonymous news source saying that Ernie Hudson says that Ghostbusters 3 will be the movie that everybody was anticipating. I'm totally joking. I did that one on purpose.
I like that one.
That really was from funny. An anonymous news source. That was some guy movies.com reported yeah, that as original. Yeah. I'm joking completely.
Really, no, I like that. It's funny. I mean, yeah, it's good stuff.
All right, diving into the next part of the show, and this is where you guys, the fans, send in your ghostly paranormal encounters. Have you seen something that you thought was a UFO, a cryptid encounter, a ghost story, sleep paralysis experience? This is the part of the show where I actually share something that comes from you guys. And this is actually a follow-up to last week's episode. We were talking about paranormal experiences in haunted locations in Northwest Indiana, my home area. And we were talking a little bit about this abandoned school in the middle of nowhere. And Panic, was at Cedars Lake? Cedar Lake. And this place is legitimately the real deal haunted spot. And it's called Selegians. And through the glory of the internet, one of our fans, Johnny, set us up with this gentleman, Jay, who actually, as a child, lived at Selegian's school when his father was a caretaker. This is his story. And I kind of having to bridge this because it was a quick conversation. But Jay says, a friend of mine and yours, Johnny Motley, asked me to tell you about some of my experience living at the Salesian School for Boys. So here are a few to start. Doors mysteriously opening and closing by themselves, disembodied footsteps, and what appeared to be a subterranean torture room that they discovered. And he says there's more few unexplainable things such as and such, but that's an even longer story. So I kind of picked it a little farther, and I'm like, why were you living in this school? He said, I was only 11 years old. One of my family lived there. So it was just the fact of living there that was such a strange place. It was like living in the Outlook Hotel from The Shining, except my father didn't go crazy and tried to kill us all. But there was a lot of strange noises going on, but my father could always explain the noises for a way to keep us from freaking out. And I asked him what the most prolific or terrifying experience he had was, and Jay shares, the most frightening experience was the disembodied footsteps. I could hear them following me down a hallway. I stopped to listen to make sure it wasn't my own footsteps, and I could still hear echoing. When I stopped to hear the footsteps walk right past me and continue down the hallway, it was only for a few seconds after it passed me that the sounds of the footsteps stopped. I had got up in the middle of the night and used the restroom and knew that those sounds of someone else were walking around. So thank you for sharing that story, Jay. And man, that's absolutely horrifying. Can you imagine, Count, like walking and then footsteps just keep going right past you?
Well, that's why that place is so interesting. I know Chuck talked about it a lot last week, and unfortunately they have some problems with the haunt this year, but no, that's terrifying at the same time. Again, when these things happen, I'm thankful for the several stories that come in here to Bob After Dark here, but when these things happen, truly terrifying stuff. I don't know how I'd be able to handle it. Some people embrace it. I know you like to maybe investigate, but even the Count here, even I've seen a lot of things in my day being centuries old, but stuff like that still terrifies me.
He looks good, by the way, for his age.
Absolutely. Yeah,
thank you. I was complaining about his double collar earlier. He had the big cape collar and the flannel collar.
I'm trying to be trendy, guys. I'm trying to be trendy.
So you know, stuff like
I was going to say, you mentioned the Overlook Hotel, and Craig, Jake, and I all stayed at the Stanley Hotel, which was the inspiration for Stephen King's Shining. And I, as a skeptic, still experienced in the night as we slept in our room, which it's a gorgeous hotel, just like aesthetically, it's like all art deco and fabulous. And it has a rich history of its own. But when we were sleeping in our room at night, I know that there's a lot of like altitude stuff. I felt kind of off, but I heard specifically like thumps and suitcases being like either knocked over or it was there. I woke up in the middle of the night to a loud thump.
So did I. 100%,
100%. And we were like, should we record or do we stay up for the rest of the night?
Yeah.
It was very, I mean, yes.
Now are you telling that? Well, I think I kind of had the same thought. Mm-hmm. I went right to that. And I actually haven't thought about this since it really happened, mm-hmm. but some places just have like only so many times you can hear the story and the same people or different people telling the same kind of, you know, same kind of accounts and similar stories. Like, you know, you're a skeptic and you're saying, hey, I heard something.
Yeah. When you're there in the inspiration, and we went to room 213, which was where the, you know, the big room with the bathtub.
The room. Right.
That's the room. That's
the room. And it's very eerie. It's very cold. You've got like the old working elevator that goes down to basically like a cellar room, like boiler room, like from the book and from it's hard not to feel things, even though I am a skeptic. The environment is, it's very creepy and old.
Right. And I think just the building itself is enough for me. Like, they do like a ghost tour there and it's kind of hokey. And to me, that kind of takes away from like just the actual, when you're there, you feel like a presence. And I'm assuming that's what the person telling the story is like, kind of the same thing, right? Where you know, the footstep thing would drive me insane. Like that would send me over the edge, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
And I want to go to this place, though.
Selegians is an actual dilapidated building in Indiana that's probably really dangerous to investigate, according to the folk who actually go and investigate these places. And during the live cast, folks, we do have a live phone line. You guys can call us at any point, 219-845-1100. I'll repeat that number, 219-845-1100, if you want to call and say talk about a paranormal experience you had, or if you'd like to ask Craig and Abby a question about their toy collection, whatever it might be, now's the time to ask. We have a caller.
I think we got to get ready to say one big oi on the count of three. One, two, three.
Oi!
Oi!
Oi! Oi!
Anthony?
Oy. Yeah.
Oi!
Anthony! My old co-host who...
He's been
to MIA for a long time. We heard you got lost in Australia.
You know what? I was actually in the Antarctic hunting this creature.
Oh man. what'd you find out about this octopus?
It doesn't like Aussies.
How have you been, Anthony? What's on your mind?
You know what? I have to call in because I miss you. You know, I love you.
Oh, love and miss you too, man.
And I wanted to say something, and I'm a little bit upset.
Uh-oh.
Why are you upset, Anthony?
Uh-oh.
Because I see this beautiful, beautiful mug or your little drink there.
Next to my bottle of water given to me by fan Becky, actually.
That's fantastic. I'm still waiting for my T-shirt.
What T-shirt? Oh, you were supposed to design your own T-shirt for the show.
That's coming, but I'm still... can I have that bottle?
No, that's my bottle. What? Have one of your fans make you a bottle. Abby and Craig, do you guys have your own acrylic bottles?
No.
No.
Just hearing
kind of
about
upset
it.
Upset right now. I
want to go home. I am home.
You are home.
I am home. I want to go cry. But I want to go outside and then walk back in.
Well, thank you, Anthony. You have a Bob After Dark T-shirt. You got one.
You gave me a size too small.
Boy, I'm glad to hear that nothing ever changes on Bob After Dark. Anthony calls in and gives me crap about nothing.
I have to. I just want to tell you that I love you and I miss you.
Oh, I love and miss you too, Anthony. Thank you so much for calling in.
You're very,
hey,
very
Anthony,
welcome.
Actually, while we have you on the phone, real quick, have you had any paranormal experiences you'd like to share recently? We haven't heard from you in like forever.
Sure, I have one every night.
Oh, there you go. We got time.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. No, there's been doing a little bit of investigations myself, but for the most part, just kind of, you know, doing my own thing and, you know, praying that this COVID ends for us all soon. But there's always something paranormal. There's always something hiding under the bed and in the closet. You know that, Bob.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Or in this case, under a bunch of ice. Mm.
You know what? There was a lot of ice to dig, but we're all right.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for calling in, Anthony.
You're very, very welcome.
Oi. Nice chatting.
Oi.
That was nice.
That was nice. See, Anthony was our on-again, off-again co-host for a very long time, and then, you know, COVID happened. Folks, real quick, I just want to give a quick shout-out to Jay for sharing those stories, and a thank you to Pat, James, Norman, and Whitney for sharing those articles with us that we can go over. Before we take a quick break, we have another caller coming in.
We do. We have John on the line.
John, here. You're on the air. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, Bob, even on presidential debate night.
Yeah, you know, I thought about Bob that, and I was like, now, John, we're not a political show.
Hey, Bob After Dark is number one.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I think the rating system probably begs to differ, but I'm glad to hear that someone decided to watch or listen to Bob After Dark instead of that.
Always do. You know that. Hey, after 49 years of marriage, my wife asked me a question last night, which all this time I never even heard of. So I'm going to put my better half on the line.
Oh,
okay.
I'm going to tell you a paranormal story, okay?
Let's hear it.
Here we go.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hello, Miss Panic. How are you?
Okay. Yeah, I told my husband this a couple of days ago, and he says, you know, this sounds like a story for Bob. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you about it. About, I'm going to say about 9-10 years ago, this has to do with my front door.
Okay.
Okay. We have the big door, and then we have like an outer door, like a screen door. So okay. What happened was, is about 9-10 years ago, this always happened like when I was home alone, you know, nobody else in the family was home. And I would hear that screen door open because it made this certain sound, like a distinct creaking noise. And it wasn't a windy day, you know, and it wasn't, you know, any kind of conditions that would cause that door to open by itself. But I heard that door opening. Hmm. So I went to the front window to look out to see, you know, the first time who was coming home. I thought, well, maybe somebody's coming home. Well, there was nobody at the door at all. So this would occur, I'm going to say, about maybe not very frequently, but maybe like 2-3 times a year I would hear it, that door opening. And again, I would go to the front window, look out the door, and look out the window, and there's nobody at the door. So, you know, I never told my husband anything about it. And that went on, you know, like I said, 2-3 times a year, and maybe... So after a couple years, I told my daughter about it. And she says, well, no, she never heard that. So it's funny. I'm going to say about a year after I told her it happened, I left the house. She was home alone. Nobody else was in the house. And she was laying in bed. She was awake. And she, when I came home from work, she says, Ma, you know, it's funny how you told me about the door, that sound of it opening. She said she was laying in bed and she heard it open. Mm-hmm. And she got out of bed, went to the front window. She thought maybe, you know, one of us was coming home, maybe looking for the key and was standing by that door, you know. But she looked out the window. There was nobody there. So I felt like the fact that it happened to somebody else and not just me, that showed that I wasn't going crazy.
Yeah, no.
So after that, I didn't hear it for a long time. I didn't hear then a couple years ago, we had a new screen door put in. Well, Bob, I'm going to say about 4 or 5 days ago, I heard that screen opening again.
Huh. You know.
And it's funny. We have a new screen door. And when I heard that door open, it was the sound of the new screen door.
Hmm.
Opening up.
That's strange.
And I went to the window. Nobody there.
You know, I whenever I get called in to do an investigation, whenever I get called in to check something out that's paranormal, mm-hmm. I always go in with what I like to call a skeptical mindset. I don't like to go in guns a-blazin'. I'm a true believer every single time because when you are a true believer every single time, something's bound to happen. It's always a paranormal experience, you know. But every investigator should go in with an investigative mindset and something skeptical, right? So when I hear doors opening or closing, my first thoughts always go to, well, maybe there's somebody that's trying to break into your house. You should probably install new locks. Second thing would be things like animals or things like construction. And maybe there's people that are listening into the chat that could probably answer this better than I am, because I don't know if you guys know this about me. I am not a construction worker. But when you have things like doorways and things like, you know, hinges and whatnot, things are bound to break. Things are bound to go wrong. So the first thing I ever want to do is go investigate a door like that and make sure that the door's not faulty, or is it latching on correctly? I mean, there's lots of things to it before you would automatically think it's a paranormal experience. Now, when I get down to the nitty gritty of it and I can't determine why it's, you know, is there a natural reason for this? No. Then my job is to start looking at it from a metaphysical standpoint. But to begin with, I like to go in and make sure things aren't happening. A lot of times people's paranormal experiences, and I hate to be this guy to say it, but a lot of times paranormal experiences, when they hear things in the walls or they hear knocking, it's because there's a hole in the side of the house and a squirrel got inside, or there's something living in between the floorboards, you know, making noises or things like that, or a drippy water pipe can really cause problems too. But in your case, where it kept happening even with a new door, you know, you have to rule out that there was a faulty door to begin with, and that leaves me with the idea that maybe there's an animal trying to get in or something like that. And and if it's not that, maybe that's somebody trying to come visit you. Now, naturally, I think that Count Panic is probably familiar with that area as well, because yeah. I believe you were a human there once. But, you know, the rule about vampires is that you're supposed to invite them into the home before they can actually get inside. So I don't blame you for throwing Count Panic out and not letting him back in. So that's probably him just being like, hey, let me in. I can go for a cold glass of water. But I really appreciate you guys calling. It means a lot to me.
Right. You know, I just wanted to tell you about it, you know.
Absolutely. No, it's a great story, and thank you for sharing it with me.
So what do you think, like, does the ghost ever stop at the doorway, like just doors and that's it?
There's what you call a residual haunting. A residual haunting meaning that it's a time-looped occurrence.
Yeah.
So that's not necessarily a ghost. I mean, it could be. Yeah. We don't really know what it is, but an idea of a residual haunting is that it's a time loop. So at every 2 p.m., 2:33 p.m., there's this figure that walks by and, you know, knocks on the door. We don't know if that's a ghost or not. It could just be a, you know, a time thing going on, yeah. Their energy left behind, as Craig was talking about earlier. And that idea could be that it's just energy left behind, and that particular bit of energy is stuck on a rewind loop on a VHS tape, and it's just going straight to the door every time. It's not necessarily a ghost, but something we left behind.
I like the idea of... Craig here. I like the idea of the time loop, but he shows up and he opens up and he goes, wait a minute, is this a new door?
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing your experience with
Thank
me. I really appreciate
very much, Bob.
It. Absolutely. Folks, if you have another paranormal experience, or if you want to ask Craig and Abby what their favorite action figure is, now is your time. 219-845-1100. And again, thank you so much to the folks that share these news articles with me week after week. If you find yourself a weird, strange news article that you want me to cover on the show, or if you have a ghostly encounter, cryptid happening, or something you look up in the sky and thought it was a UFO, or maybe you're dealing with sleep paralysis and seeing weird things during that, I want to hear these stories. The show's about you. It might be called Bob After Dark, but it's not about me. It's about you guys, the children of the night. So please share your experiences with me. There's a few ways you can do this. One, you could reach me at the fan page, to Children of the Night. You could leave your story there. If you want to be a little bit more personal, you could reach me and slide into those DMs, Bob After Dark on Facebook or Instagram, at Bob After Dark. Slide in those DMs. I'm happy to stay anonymous for you guys as long as we can. I'm happy not to share your name. There are people that have these experiences that work in the public light, and they just don't want people to make them feel uncomfortable. So feel free to reach out and share those experiences. We have another caller.
We have a longtime listener, loyal fan, Andy on the line.
Hey, Andy, you're on the air.
Hi there. How you doing, Bob?
Doing good. What's going on?
I got an open door story.
Oh, let's hear your open door story, Andy.
Okay. It happened at the Walmart on 165th.
Did you stand by an automatic door, Andy?
No, I worked there. Loss prevention.
Okay. Oh.
And like the day before Christmas... we closed the store down for Christmas, and I was responsible for getting the store all closed. So I know I checked everything. And so...
Do we lose you, Andy?
No, I was turning down the radio.
Oh, of course.
And what happened was I followed a checklist, closing the store down, making sure most of the lights are off and all the doors were closed and locked and all that kind of stuff. But then, about midnight or so, I get a call from the home office asking me to go back to the store because the freezer door was open.
Hmm.
I said, I know I closed that freezer door. So I went back to the store, unlocked it, went back, closed the freezer door. And the next day, we checked the tapes because we had a camera on it. And the funny thing was there was a bread rack in front of that door, and you could see the bread rack move first. And then to open the door, you had to pull on it to unlatch it, and you could see the door handle move and the door open. But it was so remarkable. It was so remarkable because you could see that bread rack move on its own.
Huh. You know... You know, Andy, my first thought initially is that's probably our guest from the Yes to Have Some podcast looking for those Hasbro Pulse figures.
Yeah, that's us. That's we're looking. we're at the Walmart at 2 a.m. and I'm checking the freezer for toys. This story is really cool. This one kind of gave me some, no pun intended, because it's a freezer, but I got a little shiver.
Good job.
I really did.
The home office knows exactly what's going on in every place in the store.
Yeah, of course. Has anything ever happened like that before, Andy? Like, has an experience ever happened there?
Well, you know, I used to tease the people because they saw strange things in the store from time to time. I used to tease them that it was actually built on an old Indian burial ground.
Wow.
And when that happened, then they believed me. We had it on tape. You can actually see what was going on.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that story, Andy. That's, you know, it's always interesting because you think of ghost stories, right? And yeah, everybody thinks of like the old house or like, you know, the abandoned farm or something, but you never really think of like a populated retail store.
Yeah. It was mostly, we usually had people working overnight.
Yeah.
But on Thanksgiving and on Christmas, we shut the store down completely.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And since I helped develop the checklist, I was always the one who would close the store and lock everything up, make sure everything was okay. So I knew that freezer door was closed because I would have checked it before I left.
Yeah.
But when we reviewed the tape the next day, everybody was just going, oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Well, that's, wouldn't you say, Bob, if you're trying to get to the bottom of something, videotaping is the way to go.
That's 100%. And that's the best thing to show somebody in the skeptical world. It's like, look at this. How do you explain this? You know, there's things like this. It's like, how do you explain it? And, you know, there's sometimes rational explanations and sometimes there's not. And sometimes it's just people trying to find that exclusive Walmart pop figure that someone tried to stash in the popsicle aisle.
In the freezer.
Well, thank you so much for calling in, Andy. We appreciate it.
Okay, Bob.
And we appreciate, you know what? And remember, folks, the phone lines are open for as long as we're left live, 219-845-1100. All right, folks, we're going to take just a quick moment break for our podcast listeners. This is words from a podcast that I think you should be listening to. And for the live folk, stick around for just a couple moments while I drink a sip of water.
Hey, true believers and new believers, this is Dr. David Hickney. I am a PhD in cryptozoology from MIT, and I'm the host of Freak of the Week. What's Freak of the Week? It's a podcast where people can call in to talk about all the crazy creatures and phenomena that are out there. Join me, my co-host, Dr. Elizabeth Marin, who may or may not be my sister. Spoiler, she is my sister, as we discuss such amazing topics like the ghost of Dave Coulier, the lost city of Miami, aliens, feline warriors, and much, much more. Freak of the Week comes out every week, hence the name, on Fridays. See you then.
And we are back. What'd you guys do during the break?
Well, I drank a sip of water as well.
I opened the freezer.
Oh, there you go.
Count, what'd you do?
You know, I took a stroll to Walmart, but didn't see anything I liked. No Funko Pops or anything on stock.
No Funko Pops.
You know, Bob, I was going to tell you, this house we live in, the tenant before we moved in was an elderly lady who lived here her entire life. Her grandfather built the house. This house is almost 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But she passed away in this house. And the previous owner who we bought it from told us straight up, she said,
there's light.
Her energy was here for a while, but she's moved on now. And I was so bummed to hear that because I want to meet her. I would love to have weird occurrences happening in this house, but we've been here a couple of years and so far nothing.
Oh, we got a bathroom light that flickers in and out. We've never changed it. It still flickers.
That's just bad wires.
Yeah, so, could be.
Anyways.
Well, I got a question.
Hit me. Question for them or me?
Well, for you, relating to them as well. You know, okay. You mentioned the house was at one point haunted, and now since the spirit has moved on, can you, Bob, you may maybe know this, can you bring the spirit back to a house once it's moved on, or once it's moved on, it's gone for good?
If you believe in the concept of a seance, you can call upon a spirit, true. Or, you know, there's lots of other things in a seance, but I'll just use that as an example. There's other forms out there of ways that you can summon a spirit to your specific location that wasn't supposed to be there. There's lots of voodoo practices that do that and different forms of witchcraft. So there are ways to bringing back a spirit once it's gone. Now, if you believe in Beetlejuice logic, then once you exorcise a spirit, they're gone for good.
All right.
Or if their purposes are done. There's forms of laws here. So you can believe in Beetlejuice laws and the ghost, or you could believe in, you know, the actual
crime. You might have to do a seance with Craig and Abby here.
I think we might have to. I don't think they want that, though, because their collection's really, really nice.
I was going to say, if Virginia, who was the woman who lived in the house, if she doesn't like the way we've decorated or the way that we have made one, her bedroom is now our collectible room.
Yeah, so, our toy room.
Speaking of Beetlejuice rules, hopefully
she might be more of a Star Wars fan. You might have to change the background there.
I don't know. I've seen pictures. I don't know what she was into. Except for cigarettes, mostly.
Jeez, or, you know, and then when you say the word Virginia, the first thing that comes about in my mind is somebody just collecting dolls, which for all of my long-term Bob After Dark fans that know about me and my haunted doll fears that they all like to send me now. Just imagine, like, you guys are clean.
Dolls better you than
me. I do. That's a true story. My fan, you know, I get care packages a lot, and I get a lot of fan mail, and I love fan mail. It makes me very happy to know I have fans and that they sent me mail. I swear to you, 90% of the packages I get, you know, they'll send me a book, they'll send me a postcard from where they're from, and, you know, really nice letters, et cetera, et cetera. There's always a doll. It's always one. And there's always some, like, dramatic backstory to said doll. And at this point, it's a collection, and it drives me nuts because I'm absolutely horrified of these things. Yeah. And that's my biggest fear. And I guess you could say I'm collecting these now. And,
Are you displaying them?
Absolutely not.
You are? Oh, no.
No. When the Bob After Dark Museum opens up in 5 years, when that'll happen, then I'll put them on display there. Most of my haunted items go up in my office. The haunted dolls do not. I have a simple rule that when I collect something, I don't want it looking back at me. So action figures, I guess, can look back at you, but you want to pose them in really cool ways. But when it comes to a doll, there's no really cool way to pose a doll. And that's where I draw the line, and I get very, very frightened.
Good rules. I like that. You got it. As a collector, you always have to have rules for yourself. You can break them anytime you want, but it's good to kind of have standards to live by.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I respect that.
Yeah. Speaking,
I was never a doll collector either. I always opted for stuffed animals and action figures.
They're less creepy. They're very much less creepy. Dolls, dolls always had a thing with me. And now that I do this for a pseudo living and I get to do investigations, people are like, oh, you know, haunted doll. And I'm like, which actually is a cool segue into us talking about the lore of the week. So I reached out to Craig a long time ago. I'm like, man, we should really think about collaborating. And we kind of went back and forth for a while. And I said, man, what am I going to do? So Craig and Abby and Jacob, they're toy people, they're pop culture people, and I'm a paranormal guy. And somewhere in the middle, we'll find some common ground. And to get them on the show, I was like, what can I do? So the three of them do this really cool thing on their fan page where they do these things called eBay Hangouts, where they go and find this most ridiculous things you would ever possibly imagine. And I love when you guys find old press kits for ridiculous movies. That's my favorite thing you guys buy. And I was thinking, what about haunted items that are bought online? And believe it or not, there is a whole market for them on eBay. So without further ado, folks, the lore of the week, we're talking about haunted item purchases. Now, you guys buy a lot of stuff online, a lot of used toys and stuff. Have you guys ever purchased anything you thought maybe was haunted or have heard of a story?
So I don't think I've ever bought anything that was haunted, but most of the things I'm buying are in the realm of toys and action figures, things like that. But to do a little prep, we found some articles about things, and these are articles you can find, different lists and things online of things, people, weird, strange, haunted things possibly that have been bought specifically on eBay. And
I love it.
From doing a little research, I have a feeling a lot of this was like, I don't know if anybody remembers this, eBay started in like 1998, and it was very much the Wild West. It was like, wait, you can sell stuff online? Who would do that? How do you trust people? Like, I remember I was born in 84, so I was 13 or 14 years old, and buying things on eBay and sending people envelopes full of cash in the mail. Like, yeah. So it was definitely the early days. But I have a feeling a lot of these weird items were definitely being sold back then. Like, people just had weird stuff in their house, and you know, this stuff is still niche, but even think about 1998, people buying stuff online. That's a subset of a subset of a subset of people. But we did find some stuff.
Yeah. That's great.
When I searched haunted antique, or just the word haunted, on eBay, the number one thing that popped up was dolls.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
It's tons, yes, and tons of dolls. And I have no interest in any of them, but I do like reading the descriptions of the item themselves. And like, you get to, it's a pretty much like what your listeners are calling in and saying. It's like, you get a good little story about it. Whether or not the items are worth the price that they're asking sometimes, because a lot of these were like, they would give a good story.
What's haunted about them? Is it like Chucky, where it's the spirit of somebody?
Some of the dolls that I read about, their faces would glow. There was like disembodied voices. And just odd things happening in the house.
Yeah.
A lot of photo albums that I was looking at where there were some like odd smells, like cigar smoke or like wine, things from the past that when they opened the photo album,
right,
came out. So yeah, that's smells and sounds and things
well,
like that.
We found, let's talk about this list we found. So if anybody wants to follow along specifically, there was a couple items on here that I thought were pretty funny, but this, what is this website called?
Real quick, guys, I just wanted to share that if you sell anything metaphysical on eBay, and I'm not talking about equipment, I'm talking things like haunted dolls or haunted this, or, you know, scrying mirror from 1873, you have to list them as one of two things. One, you have to list these items as an entertainment purpose item only, or you can list it as a religious artifact if it's based in witchcraft or something along them lines. So when you find these items listed specifically on eBay, that's the two things you're going to find them listed as the most. And the most common thing, the most common terminology you're going to find in the item description is not for beginners, paranormal experts only, yelled at me in an EVP. Those are like, I just wanted to give the Bob list of things you could find on eBay. And those are like the three most common things you're going to find in item descriptions.
Good advice.
Yes.
I like that. So yeah, there was a couple things we wanted to highlight, or that Abby, let's face it. Abby always does more research than me.
Like, good job, Abby. Abby actually does her homework.
I do. I do.
We sit down to podcasts notebook, and Abby goes, what are we talking about? I'm like, ugh. Figure it out.
I always do.
Ask me when we're done. So this is a Mental Floss article on, what's this article called?
I believe it's called 9 Supposedly Haunted Things Put Up for Sale on eBay.
So what's one that caught your eye here?
Let's see. There's some that are for sure scary, but one that my skepticism kind of sent a red flag to was haunted Ziploc bags.
Okay.
Bags come in sets of 3, 6, and 9. So when there's more than one item, that's when I start to question.
What's haunted about them?
It says that they can restore food to its, the earliest form of like, make you can take stale things and make them better, heal, resurrect, and protect.
Okay.
Your food.
I don't believe in that.
I don't really believe in that one either.
But that sounds like, that doesn't sound spooky. That sounds like
helpful.
An actual useful.
Yeah.
That's like a useful ghost.
Why would I be terrified of that? You know, that sounds like something that could be very helpful for your health and for nutritional value and just for overall taste. That doesn't seem spooky at all. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Lost my mic for a second. I think Virginia just showed up.
Oh, you asked for her to show up. She came.
That's like more, that's less of the Ziploc's less of a haunted thing. It's like a Shark Tank idea. Like,
yeah.
I feel like they'd invest in that.
Exactly.
What else we got?
There was a pair of shoes that, tap dance in the night.
Okay.
Which I thought were pretty interesting. There's a lot of, I believe it's pronounced Dybbuk. It's the D-Y-B-B. Dybbuk, thank you. It's kind of my first time reading it. That seems to be, there's a lot of those online.
Oh my God.
When a spirit, it's like in Jewish lore that the spirit takes over your body and then is trapped inside of that.
Were we supposed to open up one of those on the air, Bob?
No, we were. That was forbidden.
Oh.
I have been around people that have bought Dybbuk boxes online, and they think it's great when they open it up, and I'm like, your funeral, pal.
Yeah, exactly.
From what I've read, I have no interest.
Well, I'll be putting my stale sandwich into this bag, and we'll see who has a better time.
Yeah, a lot safer than like a malicious spirit.
Yes.
What was that one right there? The mysteriously smelly photo.
Yeah, that was the one I was talking about. It's a Victorian gent, and it would smell the odor of smoke from a wood fire, pipe smoke, cigar, roses. Would like appear mysteriously.
I want to read this. It says, when questioned with a Ouija board, the spirit inside was sometimes talkative and even playful, but other times reticent. What's that bra? What is that?
There was a sexy spirit bra.
Oh, hey.
It is a size 32A, so it's for the petite spirits. And apparently you can place the bra by a lit white candle to see the spirit in full body apparition and like interact with it. It says you can have...
How much is that?
Behave, Cal. Behave. We're a family-friendly show.
The bra reportedly contains the spirit of a sexy woman and wearing it will ensure not just great support, but a constant stream of admiration and gifts.
Well, that's nice.
So that's kind of cool.
Sounds like a support system, literally.
Yeah.
There you go.
Might have to get that, honestly.
There was some interesting stuff on. I was surprised at the amount of articles there. I was skeptical that I was going to be able to find good information. Mm-hmm. But what was the other one that we
had? This is a juice container that apparently kept refilling with liquid throughout the years, specifically after a grandmother had passed away.
Huh. No ecto cooler, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Real life ecto cooler. Easier to find. Somehow.
Easier to find, yeah.
Cool.
That's amazing. Those stories blow my stories completely out of the water. I mean, I got you know, your traditional stuff, but not a pitcher of juice that refills. That's amazing. that's not haunted. That's useful, folks.
Yeah, these are very good.
That plus the Ziploc bag, you're all set.
I need to know, though. So this is on eBay, right?
Well, they were sold on eBay. It was kind of a compilation of these
things. Does it say what they were sold for, or...?
No.
That's a shame. I would like to know how much those Ziploc bags sold for.
$25.
Oh, it does say on that one.
On this one.
$25 count.
For the Ziplocs? That's not bad for
That's
fresh
not bad.
Food.
No, not at all.
No, you can't beat that.
You know, I bought haunted objects for a lot more than that over the time. So that's a great deal.
That's a steal.
That's a steal.
Yeah.
That's a fresh deal.
Oh, there you go.
You guys like that?
Yeah.
All right.
I like that.
I just real quick, one of our fans, James, actually chimed in and said, I literally bought a haunted house, and I'm assuming he's referring to a listing off the internet. My first story actually comes to us from a famous house from Hollywood. A paranormal investigator actually buys the haunted house that inspired the film The Conjuring after finding a listing online. Paranormal investigator Corey Heisen bought the haunted 18th century house that inspired the 2013 supernatural horror film The Conjuring. It's on 8 acres of land in Rhode Island. You guys can check out more about The Conjuring House on Ghostly Podcast episode revolving around The Conjuring home. They did a big deep dive into that, but he actually bought his home from an online listing.
I like that. That's cool.
Very cool.
You know, he's buying really cool stuff. You guys are selling Ziploc bags. Here's another one. Country Living, which I think is a periodical about, you know, trying to deck your house out in country style. They had a whole thing on here too. One of these is a disturbing painting, and I'll be happy to share this on the Children of the Night fan page after this. It's known as the Haunted eBay Painting. Ooh. The Hands Resist Him is a work from an artist, Bill Stoneham. Based on a real-life photograph of the artist from around the time he was 5 years old, it depicts a young boy and a doll in front of a glass door with disembodied hands in the background. A California couple found the painting in an abandoned brewery, but in February 2000, they no longer wanted to have it home, so they listed it on eBay with the thing, dire warning to buyers. This painting may or may not possess supernatural powers that could impact and change your life. They claim their daughter told them that the boy and the girl from the painting would fight each other at night. The ad also mentioned that at one point, the boy seemingly exited the picture, which is basically Vigo, right? Which is when
Harry Potter.
Yeah, like, which is when they decided to sell it. Yeah. This painting sold for $1,025 to a gallery owner in Michigan. In an interview, she revealed that she received emails from people who claimed that they were repulsed or became psychically ill while viewing the photo or the painting. So, you know, discretion, folks, when you're looking at this. I don't feel anything looking at this picture, but it's very close to the story about the fire boy paintings. I don't know if you guys ever heard. It's a really famous paranormal painting that apparently would cause your home to catch on fire if you had it hanging up there. And they had it on Zach Bagans' paranormal Pawn Star show that he runs. I don't know what it's called, but he had it on there, and that was one of the few times I actually seen that man freaked out about something. Like, he like apologized for that thing being in his museum because he was that afraid that thing was going to burn it down. That's just a couple of items I had brought up. And I know you guys had more you wanted to talk about.
Well, I like the idea of a painting where the kids are fighting. That makes me laugh. So I like that one. Some of the other stuff we found wasn't really paranormal, just kind of oddities. You know, you see a lot of when people see the Virgin Mary and their grilled cheese, and then they try to sell it on eBay, stuff like that. The one that made me laugh is somebody actually got away with selling a Dorito that was shaped like the Pope's hat.
For $1,209.
No.
My first thought was, aren't all Doritos kind of shaped like the Pope's hat?
$1,000?
$1,000 count. We got that on the Bob charge card.
Who's buying this stuff? I want to meet the people buying this stuff.
GoldenPalace.com, an online casino, apparently bought the grilled cheese Virgin Mary sandwich and the Dorito shaped like the Pope's hat.
Yeah. So,
I mean, good for them.
You got the money, right?
I suppose. We got the Bob After Dark charge card.
We have it on us?
Yeah, we have it on us. We're going to buy some stuff.
I'm going to go some shopping, do some shopping tonight.
There's some dangerous stuff you could also buy on eBay, folks. Be careful when you're looking up different things, and I'll talk about that maybe on Bob After Dark. Not family friendly.
Oh, okay. Ooh. You know, what's funny? It says that what was really unique about this Virgin Mary grilled cheese is that it never went bad, and it's like they probably had the plastic Ziploc bags.
Yeah.
They were working in tandem with the haunted bags. It's all about synergy.
Is there anything that obviously there's some things you can't sell on eBay, but even if it's, you know, anything could be sold, right? I mean, at the end of the day,
I don't think body parts and people.
Well, barring legality, you can't buy and sell. But
they don't care if it's like a Dorito shaped like something. It's all
apparently not, because people buy it.
I guess, right.
And this then is a Dorito shaped like a human torso. It's not a human torso, 100%.
You know, you guys have the Doritos. I have things like the possessed carving, and this is this one gives me the weirdness when looking at it. Best way I could describe it, it's a boy with a plate in front of him, and he's got a short haircut, and his eyes look like it's directly staring into my soul. Sold on eBay in 2013. The seller claimed that the carving has been in their family for over 60 years, which I could believe. It looks really old. The seller's grandparents found the statue in the attic of their West Virginia home in the 1950s. When they asked the original homeowners where it came from, they learned it was a gift from a prisoner who had carved it. According to the seller's description, anyone who came in contact with it seems to feel strange or creeped out by it. I am, yes. Strange occurrences began when the seller took the carving out of the storage box and displayed in a cabinet. I began to experiencing the television turning on and off again, lights coming on in the rooms when nobody was there, and the kids' toys would come on in the middle of the night in their room at 3 a.m. It sold for $85.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's something.
That's a steal at that price. Exactly. I'm here $1,000.
Yeah. Very scary.
Here's another one. This one's another horrifying one. This is like a dilapidated papier-mâché figure of somebody's face. And carved into the torso is the word future in quotations. They call it the destructive statue. Auctioned in October 2013, this folk art bust was made by a man named William, who enjoyed making sculptures out of unhardened clay. According to the item's description, William made this particular statue on the same day he was crushed to death during a tragic work accident at a brickyard. A coworker saw the statue was still at the job site when he arrived the next day, so he took it home with him. While nothing strange happened for a few months, things took a weird turn when he took it out of storage to display it in his den. A few days later, the den felt like it was heavy and uninviting. He began hearing doors slam on their own and only find them wide open when he went and looked. Decorations that were hung next to the statue shattered on their own, and at one point, he found the statue facing the other side of the wall, even though he never moved it. To make matters worse, he saw a dark shadow or mist as he was walking past the den one night. Completely spooked, he begged a friend to sell it for him on eBay, who put it up there and made a whopping $157.
Wow.
That's, I've never really experienced the walking into a room and just feeling that heavy, unwelcoming presence, but I don't want to. It never sounds fun to me.
Mm-mm. No, but there's a great Stephen King story called 1402 that's about like a hotel room where you walk in and everything, the pictures are just off and the bed sheets feel like skin and you can just feel a general like evil about it. And that's the stuff that really gets me.
Yeah, going. There's it's a term with people that are empathic mostly. When you're empathic, you're kind of feeling on emotions from a room. And, you know, if you believe in the idea that energy doesn't actually leave anybody, you know, energy can't be destroyed or created. It just kind of exists, right? And the idea that energy left behind by somebody still exists, you got to think that energy still exists in the room. Whether or not you believe in a spirit or not, if somebody angry just left the room and, you know, people still feel really uncomfortable after the person left the room, it's the same idea. It's the fact that that emotion and that energy was left behind from that person and it's still affecting you at that moment. So, I mean, it's totally a thing. Now, in this case, you're looking at this horrifying bust of something with the, you know, the quotation of future written on it. I don't know if the story of William is true. Again, these are all eBay descriptions, and I'm sure Craig and Abby can tell me firsthand that eBay descriptions can be completely lies.
Yes. True. Yes. No damage. Great condition.
Right. Won't kill you.
I hope that's an eBay description for an item somewhere. Won't kill you. Yeah. And there's other ones out there, like, for example, there's a paranormal investigator out of the UK who has spent tens of thousands of dollars buying haunted items on eBay. They have bought some of these dolls that are $45, and they've bought them more than $1,500. And this is an article from the Vice UK. They just feel really bad about these dolls and they just keep buying them and buying them. So yes, there are collectors out there for these things that aren't just me. I promise I'm not a weirdo. And for example, they posted an article on here. Nasty Preserve Possessed Doll Experienced, Adult Collectors Only. This thing sold for $1,526. A standard doll, big creepy eyes with long brunette hair and a yellow dress, kind of looks like Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Oof. No, thank you.
Mm-mm. Yeah, no thanks. I remember receiving dolls as gifts from one of my aunts like every Christmas, and that would go right under the bed for me. I didn't want to.
Well, don't put it under the bed.
I know that.
That's where an evil doll thrives.
You're right.
Why is that a good idea? I mean, why are dolls a thing at the end of the day is my question. Why does anybody, even as a young child, do you really enjoy having a creepy doll around you?
Some people collect those things willingly. I unfortunately collect them unwillingly because people send me them.
Send more.
No, jeez. My first one actually came from, I believe, one of your fans, guys, Rob Sose. If I'm pronouncing
it. Oh, yeah. He's great.
Yeah, yeah, Rob sent me my first haunted doll. And the story is horrifying.
He sent me a lot of awesome vintage t-shirts from Batman Forever. He's a great guy.
And he's also a real life legit undertaker.
Yes, he is. So Rob actually sent me my first haunted doll. And the story that came with it is absolutely horrifying. It makes no sense. And the fact that he came in contact with this thing and then sent it to me and I'm looking at it and I said, yikes. I had several people that are of the psychic persuasion look at it and have all told me that there's nothing attached to it, but I'm almost positive there is because there's no reason that thing should have ended up in my
life. Sorry, we got a TV blasting in the other room. Sorry, folks.
Oh, did you, was that your Virginia?
That wasn't Virginia. That was Joe Biden, I think.
Oh, boy.
Moving on.
No politics.
I have only two more things I want to talk about before we call it a night, if you guys still have a couple more moments
to
share.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm having fun. Thank you again for having us.
I hope both of you guys are having fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this I was saying fun. Before, when you guys do like a eBay hangout in October, you guys should have me. I'll come on and we'll just look at haunted items on eBay all night. I'm all about this.
As long as we can all file, like, you got to buy something. No perusing only.
Yeah. Well, we pressure each other into doing it. It's a great thing.
And then we'll get the loss prevention guy from Walmart from earlier.
Andy.
And he'll make sure nobody steals anything. Cool. It'll be great.
All right. So this next story actually comes to us from topic.com. And it's a list of different haunted items that were sold on eBay. This is Haunted Antique China. It's a 3-piece set. From the listing, all three pieces were found wrapped in a wad of old newspaper under the porch of a house dating back from about 1910. The bundle was buried under a thin layer of dirt and damp, decayed leaves that must have been blown under the porch for decades. The homeowner set the china on a windowsill and as promptly forgot about them. One afternoon, an elderly neighbor was passing by and she noticed pieces of china on the windowsill. She seemed suddenly disturbed by their presence and asked where he got them. After some questioning, she admitted they looked familiar in a pattern to a set once owned by their another neighbor, Mrs. Dillon, whose husband unfortunately was very abusive. One day he turned up dead. Mrs. Dillon became a recluse and then suddenly moved away with no notice from her former friends. The homeowner thought no more of it until the next morning when he found the creamer in two cups at his kitchen table and could not remember bringing them into the house. He quickly put all pieces into a shoebox. He put a box on the porch and he made a phone call to a friend who had an interest in the paranormal. After relating the story and getting some suggestions, the box was picked up and delivered to us. I can personally attest that the time I have wiped them off and taken photos, there was no less than 3 dips in the electrical power that caused the lights to dim. These 3 pieces of china were sold for $45.
Okay. There's a lot to unpack there.
Well, you got to think if there is a tragic, a theory about what exactly a ghost is, it's something that could have been attached to the item. When you get a haunted item, it's not that the ghost possessed the item. It's because that it left some energy behind. The only idea we ever come across with like haunted dolls and like an actual physical possession, that's more used in like old witchcraft and voodoo practices where the idea that you summon a spirit into a vessel like a doll and it's able to kind of manipulate it. That's the idea of what Annabelle, the famous doll from the Warren's collection, actually is. It's not necessarily energy left behind on something, but a physical spirit embodying the vessel that is the doll. And in this case, with the haunted china, it doesn't sound like the china itself is haunted, but the china itself is holding on to some energy. And it's possible that Mrs. Dillon offed her husband and then moved away and buried it under the porch by the china. Maybe she used the china to do it. But I'm not a true crime podcast. So that's
poison. Yeah.
Did she? Well, you got to get the podcast.
I think you got
voice.
Something there. Like,
there is no reason to not think that she did not relentlessly beat her husband with the china and then bury it under the porch. I hope that's what happened. If he was abusive, he deserved to get beaten with that china.
Yeah, good for her.
Good for her.
Are any of these items returnable? Can you return?
That is a question for Craig and Abby, not me.
Yeah, Craig, Abby, can you return these items? Like the Ziploc bags, if they don't work, can you return these?
I would do is I would just try to return them to a store. Like, hey, I think then you put the haunted Ziploc bags into the general pop, you know? Mm-hmm.
That would work.
Yeah. You guys are crazy. Yeah. That is paranormal anarchy.
right. Like, that's, hey, yeah, you just take the haunted china plates to like JCPenney. Like, I need to return these.
See what happens.
They're fine. I would say, are they in good condition? They're fine.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then the whole JCPenney's like register system shuts down at once when you bring the haunted item in.
Yeah.
All right, folks, real quick, this is going to be the last item, and then we're going to let Craig and Abby plug whatever they'd like to plug. This is a haunted watch stuck at 11:29 p.m. This is still from topic.com. From the listing, the person I received this watch from informed me that Julie owned this watch when she was 24 years old. She set the watch on her nightstand before she set off to jog, and she never returned home. Sadly, she was abducted and killed by a crazy person around 11:29 p.m., the same time that the watch stopped working on her nightstand. I took this watch to my medium friend, and she confirmed that Julie revisits this watch from time to time. That would explain the unexpected temperature drop I get sometimes when I hold this watch. I felt goosebumps in 80-degree weather. The watch is not working. Watch is used. Please read the disclaimer before you buy this item. I cannot guarantee the same experience I had, and I'm not responsible for the experiences you have with this item. This disclaimer is for my protection as well as buyer's protection. eBay prohibits the sale of intangible items. It's also their policy for me to state this disclaimer. I am selling this item as is, nothing intangible, just a watch. Winning bid, $17.50.
Ooh. Yeah, I think that one probably strikes Craig on like a deep spot.
Why though?
Well, because you don't like when I go out running at night. But also,
people go running at night, and there's other people who are like, I enjoy that they're doing that. Like, nobody should even be outside at night.
It's too close to home.
Yeah, there you go.
It's very scary sounding though for a temperature drop, and also for the time to stop at the same time that she was abducted is a weird parallel right there.
That's like pretty crazy. I'm surprised that only sold for $17. I think
you know how many haunted items go on eBay. I have a group of friends that'll do this a lot. They'll go on eBay and they'll peruse the haunted eBay circuit just to find a specific item just to have around when I come over, just because, you know, they know I'm sensitive to this type of thing and they enjoy, you know, watching me kind of sit there and stare at it. Their favorite thing to buy is Dybbuk boxes. You can go on eBay and buy as many Dybbuk boxes as you want. And unfortunately, I've been around as they open these things with a giant Bowie knife. And then I'm like, that's not good. So no, there's so many of these items on eBay and other online auction sources. I'm sure we're only using eBay because, you know, you guys are the eBay folks. So I wanted to kind of tie in what we do together. So yeah, it only sold for $17.50 because there was probably only one weirdo out there like Count Panic at 3 o'clock in the morning who's like, I have the Bob After Dark charge card. What are we buying tonight?
I'm ready to go. As soon as the show ends, I'm going to eBay.
I was going to say the closest I've gotten to selling something haunted is, and I was not supposed to be selling this because you're not supposed to sell and ship liquid items, but I sold a sealed bottle of Crystal Head vodka that I just had and that was signed by Dan Aykroyd and I didn't need it anymore. And then I was worried that it was going to break. But anyways, that's my Dan Aykroyd Crystal Head vodka eBay story. I thought it would be relevant for right now.
It makes sense. As much as Dan's into that, you know, kind of life,
it makes
total sense that you would have a bottle of Crystal Head vodka that would be haunted. Absolutely. All right, folks, we're hitting to the end of the show. Craig and Abby, do you guys have anything you'd like to plug coming up on the show? Your Ernie Hudson interview, things that are coming up in the future, any contest you're doing, whatever it is, plug it.
Yeah, so I would just say find us wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be there, primarily iTunes, Spotify. And then we've got our YouTube channel where we do a lot of our toy and action figure content. We've got a new spinoff show we've been doing called Toy Anxiety. We did a couple live streams last weekend. And we're going to be just doing a lot more live video content. We really enjoy the format of being able to connect with people on the fly. So find us, Spotify, YouTube, iTunes. And then if you want to hang out and discuss pop culture, movies, toy collecting, and things like that, you can find our official Facebook group, Yes Have Some Group Therapy.
And it's a closed group, so ask to join and either myself, Craig, or Jake will accept you.
That's
what I say every week. We're also on Instagram at yhatspodcast.com.
Not .com.
I thought you said .gov. I was like, how did you secure that
domain? yhatspodcast.gov.
Turn the debate off.
No. Our Instagram, every day we feature toys and collectibles and things from our personal collections. A lot of good stuff on there. So it's at yhatspodcast.
Yep.
Craig and Abby, I really appreciate you guys coming aboard and doing this wonderful collaboration that's going to be kicking off my Halloween season. It's Halloween every year, every week here at Bob After Dark. So it's really cool to do something a little different to be able to kick off a really cool experience. Thank you guys so much for coming aboard and doing this for me and with me. It's great.
I hope you enjoyed yourself. Real quick, I did enjoy myself. Thank you. I'm really excited for what you do here. You know, in a past life, not real. I shouldn't say that facetiously on this show. in this actual life, but probably 15 years ago, I was in a rock band and I used to tour the country for years. And I would spend late night drives, 2-3 in the morning, listening to Coast to Coast AM. And there was nothing better than that in the middle of the desert when the rest of the band is sleeping and you're just like freaking out. Because Bob, you're carrying that torch. I love what you're doing. This show's amazing. And I really appreciate you having us on.
Yeah, we applaud you. Thanks for having us. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you guys. And it's really cool because Coast to Coast is actually for the radio show portion of Bob After Dark. We actually are syndicated Coast to Coast is syndicated at this radio station. Yeah. So for the local area, if you're trying to listen to Coast, WJOB is the place for it. And it's kind of cool to be like, you know, I open for Coast to Coast if you listen in the greater Chicagoland area.
Yeah, it comes on pretty soon here,
actually.
Yeah, I mean, not to plug another show.
No,
but
we talk about Coast to Coast a lot on here. George,
that was
they're great. That's, you know, they're good. You know, they're bays. So
good. Yeah, because that was my first. You know, I'm not very much into this world, but I would tell anybody, if you got Bob After Dark on a podcast, go outside at 3 a.m. and listen to it. It's a different experience than just, you know, sitting around the living room. Mm-hmm. It's spooky and I love it. And I think you guys are doing an incredible job, and we're going to have to do this again.
Yeah. I think so. And when you guys, we should do, like I said, a paranormal haunted eBay hangout. Then
that would be great.
Then I could come over to your guys' show and you guys can make some sweet tea or something. And I'll, you know, take my shoes off at the door.
So much sweet tea. I guess we should say we're in Atlanta. I don't know if we ever said that.
You guys are in the South. That's why I said, you guys, I'll take my shoes off at the porch. You guys can make some sweet tea. I'll hang out and we'll look at weird items on eBay. I could swear and be myself on that one.
There you go. You put your shoes under the porch with some of our china we keep under there.
That's what happened to your third host, right? I'm sorry, did I spoil that?
No, he's here. He's not here.
He's not here.
You got to be careful when you say he's everywhere. No. Jake's got the night off. But no, this was great. This was fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of what you do for this spooky season.
Oh, thank you very much. Craig and Abby, I always have people do like a proverb or something that you guys want to live by or some advice you can give. Not necessarily about toy collecting. It could be about toy collecting. Leave some words for the audience to ponder as they listen to Count Panic and me say goodbye.
I would say buy it now.
Buy it now is always a good one.
Whatever it is you're looking at on eBay, buy it now.
Buy it now. Deal with the regret later. I always use the Bill Murray quote. Bill Murray, I know his name. he says, life is not a dress rehearsal. So spend your time on this earth doing what you love and what you're passionate about. And make the most of it because it doesn't last forever. I'm sure most of your listeners actually think it does last for like forever and ever.
I have skeptics that listen. They don't, you know, they'll tell me I'm full of crap all the time, but they enjoy it.
But I do firmly believe, whether or not you believe in anything beyond this space, even if there's a grand paradise waiting for us as we make our transition, nobody knows for sure. So you might as well do the most you can while you're here because life is short. Mm. And that's why we do the things we do, because we're passionate about it. We love it. Yeah, so I don't
life
know if that
short,
was
short. Be excellent to each other.
Yeah, that's great.
There's that.
There you go.
Count Panic, what you got for us tonight?
Well,
what's your
you know, I got
words?
The Bob After Dark charge card in my pocket as we speak. I'm ready to go on eBay. I see a Dorito-shaped doll I want to buy, so I'm going to look for that, Bob. So look forward to some great charges and the old charge card tonight.
Thank you very much. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening and watching another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. And happy 2-year anniversary, dear. Thanks for telling me to do the show instead of other stuff.
There you go.
So happy 2-year anniversary. And remember, folks, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are as above, so below, and not all who wander are lost. Until next time.
memoriam development.